In the Mennonite Confession of Faith, baptism is talked about as a sign. Signs are part of our lives. We take it for granted. One of the things about a sign is it tells us information about something to be at, a place to go, an event that we want to be part of. And I think baptism is all of that. Probably most of us are familiar with signs when we travel down the road and we want to get somewhere. I like that image of a sign because it implies that we're on a journey and that we want to go somewhere. We have a destination. And so I think baptism is similar to that kind of sign, that when we arrive at the act of baptism, it indicates that the person receiving baptism is on a journey. And we're going to hear from Pam Wilkinson this morning about her journey. When I've been in conversation with Pam over the last few months, I asked her to write out her faith journey. So in the Mennonite tradition, things that are sometimes called a sacrament or an ordinance in other traditions are referred to as a sign of something. The sign of baptism is an ancient practice of the church in all the traditions, even before the church came into being. Water to cleanse people and purify people and to symbolize their right relationship with God has been a practice of many traditions through the ages. And the Christians have incorporated that in a special way. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. That was one of the things that prompted me to be baptized about the same age as you are, Pam. I think I was 28 or 29 when I was baptized. And in the Mennonite tradition, we expect that a person, when they are baptized, will make a choice of faith at that point. And that baptism is a symbol or an expression of that choice and something that's happened in their life to prompt them to make a decision to follow the way of Jesus, to become part of the church, and to make a pledge to continue that journey in their life. And we'll hear more from Pam how she sees that this morning as she shares her faith journey with us. And I'd like to have a prayer for you before you begin. God, I give thanks for Pam and for her life and for this place that you have called her to today to engage in this act of baptism as a symbol of what has been happening in her life and the leading of the Spirit in her life. So I pray your blessing upon her as she shares, and I pray your blessing upon this group that is gathered today as they hear her words and as they reflect on their own faith journey. In Christ's name, amen.
We should remember to take this off. I guess I'm gonna get wet later. Hi, my name's Pam, and I make bad jokes when I'm nervous. I'm really excited to share about my journey. It's been, I think, kind of a unique one. Everybody's journey is unique. My parents originally intended to raise me and my sister in the Lutheran Church. I was actually baptized as an infant in the Lutheran Church and attended until I was about six or so. Somewhere in that time period of my very early youth, my dad, I think, first stopped attending the Lutheran Church and started seeking out other traditions and faith, and eventually started attending a Quaker meeting, which shares our pacifist testimony in the Mennonite tradition, which is kind of a connection later. So for a while when I was young, my sister and I went back and forth between the Lutheran Church and the Quaker Church. I remember also visiting a number of other congregations when I was very young, which I cannot name for you now. And eventually at some point my parents said, well, you can make a decision on where you want to start going usually. And so this is like when I'm like six or seven. So here's the choice to a 6 or 7 year old. You can go to Lutheran Church where you have to dress up and go to Sunday school and sit through a sermon. Or you can go to Quaker Church where you have to sit still for like 15 minutes and then you kind of leave and do kid things. So for a six-year-old, kind of an easy decision. Eventually, the Quaker Church is where I sort of found my spiritual place. I continued attending for my entire time living in San Antonio. Eventually, our whole family attended a Quaker Church, I think by the time I was in about middle school. And my time in the Quaker meeting was really formative to my religious and spiritual views. The Quaker meeting in San Antonio is unprogrammed, meaning that worship is an hour of silence in which we await the Spirit of the Lord. And if someone feels that they've been moved to share a spiritual message from God, then anyone is welcome to do so. There's no minister, it's just the gathered. The San Antonio meeting had a corporate belief in God, but no corporate belief or stance on Jesus. And there was very little discussion about Jesus and the Bible, generally speaking. I did grow up knowing some of the quote-unquote major Bible stories, but wasn't very familiar with the Bible overall in my youth. Since then, I've been through the New Testament twice, and I'm working my way through the Old Testament. I'm in 1 Chronicles, going through the genealogies. The primary things I took away from my time in the Quaker tradition was the belief that God is a person as well as an omnipresent being whose spirit and people is reflected in acts of love, kindness, and generosity. I also find deep import in the Quaker testimonies, which are simplicity, peace, integrity, community, equality, and stewardship as ways to walk through the world in the spirit of God. These are ideals that I see reflected here at Austin Mennonite Church, and it's a big part of the reason that I feel like I found my spiritual home here. The looseness of the unprogrammed Quaker tradition gave me a lot of time in my youth to explore different belief systems. During high school especially, I spent a lot of meeting time, of silent worship time, reading books about Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism, lots of other traditions. I also had the opportunity to visit several different religious institutions with the other Quaker youth. The Quaker meeting offered an opportunity to think a great deal about religion and spirituality when I was very young, for which I'm very grateful. And ultimately, sitting in meeting is where I first experienced and acknowledged the presence of God. When I moved to college in Michigan, I essentially stopped attending a church. My college was in a small town with no Quaker meeting. The closest one would have been an hour away in Ann Arbor. And getting up to drive an hour on a Sunday morning seemed like a lot to ask in college. As a senior, though, I went through a kind of difficult emotional period and felt a spiritual gap in my life from not attending any church. And so I started making the drive up to the Ann Arbor Quaker meeting. And in that same year, I became an official member of the San Antonio meeting, because even though I was living in Michigan, that still felt not like my home, my spiritual home. In the fall of 2012, I moved to Austin to start my master's at UT. I met a friend there who eventually invited me to a small baking party. This is a weekly gathering where we baked things and then handed them out to whomever wanted a treat the next day in the music school. I started attending these parties regularly, and eventually the group of people involved became my primary group of friends. It turns out that what the baking parties actually were a gathering termed Third Place by a church called the Austin Stone. And essentially, third places are given through the Bible studies at the Austin Stone, and they're simply a social gathering in which the members of the Bible study reached out specifically to friends who aren't Christian. The intention of this is twofold: to ensure the members of the study got outside the Christian circle and didn't become too isolated, and to hopefully eventually evangelize to those friends without a let me sit you down while I tell you about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ kind of format. After several months of hanging out with this group of evangelical Christians, one of them invited me to attend their Bible study gathering. I went primarily out of curiosity and intended only to observe as an outsider. However, I quickly became interested in the discussions. As part of the study, I began reading the Bible, and after a while, I became more interested individually. I ended up asking one of my friends to read the Gospels with me. I was particularly interested in reading about the life of Jesus. And for some time, I took this as a very academic exercise rather than a spiritual one. On that year on Easter, I was playing for some services at Redeemer Lutheran. Just a gig to me. I'm a musician, for those who don't know me. And I still play for them a lot. And at one point during the service, just very suddenly, I had what I can only describe as a personal revelation. I was suddenly bowled over with a realization that I had come to believe all these things that I'd been reading in my heart somehow. And every time I tell this story, I realize how kind of sudden and strange it sounds. I was very wigged out at the time. I called one of my friends in the MC right after the services, and I think the conversation went something like this. Luke, so I was at these Easter things, and and so he invited me over to his house, and I came and talked and tried to talk, and sort of went through that moment. But while the transition from viewing Jesus as an important historical figure to the Son of God was really sudden, my continued study and spiritual exploration has really cemented that belief. The transition in belief was primarily emotional and spiritual at the first moment. It's difficult to describe any sort of reasoning behind that sudden revelation. Sorting it out on a more intellectual level, however, I think the sudden realization was that I felt that I couldn't believe half of what Jesus said. I had to believe all of it. Jesus talks consistently throughout the Gospels about his deity and about his mission on earth, part of which is to educate the people about God, but the other ultimate purpose was his sacrifice on the cross. Everything he did really culminated there. Without accepting that, I would find it difficult to truly try to embody all the other principles he teaches, such as love, generosity, and peace. His many teachings and parables all point to the cross. At the Last Supper, when he shares the wine, he says, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." His teachings tell us how to live under the new covenant, but without the actual act of sacrifice, there'd be no covenant to live under. I started to feel that it was impossible to believe in Jesus' teachings without believing in the reason that he taught those things. His act on the cross was his ultimate expression of his life's work, the ultimate expression of love, generosity, and peace. It is God's ultimate grace for us to excuse us from all our many failures. To some extent, you can say that the rest is history. I've attended a few different churches in Austin and never quite found my home there. I came to IMC when I felt at the loss for deeper community. A lot of the other churches I've attended are quite large, and I just couldn't quite find my spot. My faith journey has led me down some paths that seemed radically different at the time, but in retrospect seemed to be headed to a very logical place. IMC embodies the belief in Jesus as the Son of God and a Savior, as well as reflecting the attitudes of peace and love that I feel are so strongly inherent in Jesus' teachings and God's intentions for us on earth. Part of what I love about my faith journey is that I have been influenced by so many different traditions and belief systems, Lutheran, Quaker, evangelical, as well as beliefs that have nothing to do with Christianity. I feel pretty certain I've even learned some good things from really good atheists. I've learned so much, and I still have so much to learn, and there's so much that we can hear from other people telling us, but that doesn't necessarily mean not feeling very solid in a specific belief, and that's what I love about AMC, because I feel like we have a very clear intention, but are open to the many words of others. I feel like somehow all of my different experiences have really coalesced here and brought me here. Many of the values I've learned throughout my life and internalized, especially from the Quaker tradition, are brought to bear here, but with a context that gives those values a base and a core that I feel like I had lacked before. Having that core has made me feel more able to live out a good and loving life, even if I fail repeatedly. I feel that I can continue to grow in my faith as I walk through the various joys and challenges that life surely has in store for me. I was baptized as an infant in the Lutheran tradition. Lutherans practice infant baptism because they believe that faith is an act of God rather than a result of our own actions. In a way, it also symbolizes that God's grace is available to anyone. My baptism now as an adult believer holds an altogether different meaning. The Confession of Faith in a Mennonite perspective states that baptism by water is a pledge to serve Christ and to minister as a member of his body, to the gifts given to each one. Having come to faith in Christ through a process of spiritual seeking, I am ready for a baptism that symbolizes not only the gift of God's grace, but the responsibility that comes with that gift. To me, it is a symbol of my promise to live as a member of the corporate church and to walk in the ways of Jesus to the best of my abilities.
I'd like to invite the congregation to turn in the back of the hymnal to number 777 as kind of a corporate response to Pam. And we'll read that together in response to her sharing her faith journey. Together, as we now receive you into the fellowship of the church, we make this covenant with you as we renew our own covenant with God, to bear each other's burdens, to assist in times of need, to share our gifts and possessions, to forgive as Christ has forgiven us, to support each other in joy and sorrow, and in all things to work for the common good, thus making known Christ's presence among us to the glory of God. As we unite with each other now, may we all be joined with Christ our Lord. So our mode of baptism is Omar will pour water into my hands, and I will drop the water onto Pam, and then I'll lay my hands on her and pray for her a blessing. And I invite us after the service to take time to greet Pam, to welcome her, and to give her your blessing as well. The song that we will sing after the baptism is one that Pam chose as one of her favorite hymns. And I think you'll enjoy hearing the congregation sing that after this act of baptism. In the name of the one who created you, in the name of the one who redeemed you and on whose journey and life you will follow, and who is your Savior and Lord, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, who comforts you, encourages you, and leads you on your journey, I baptize you. Thank you, God, for the life of Pam, for this place that you have brought her to today, for the mystery that you have shown to her, for your presence with her day by day, for the way that you have walked with her in different experiences, for the gifts that you have given her, especially for the gift of music. We thank you for her life, for her faith, for her sharing, for her presence, for all that she is. We welcome her into the company of saints, into the church this day, and bless her in Christ's name. Amen. Pam, I want to welcome you as a sister in Christ, welcome you into the church. God bless you this day.
Thank you.